nothing on his fire. Only this I see.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. We welcome you. We're so glad that you're here this morning. How many guys are excited to be here? Amen. Some enthusiasm. We talked about enthusiasm on Friday night in our college age group. We need to be enthusiastic about the Lord. Amen. How many guys have lost your enthusiasm and you need the Lord to renew your enthusiasm? I pray by the Holy Spirit right now that God, you will renew enthusiasm in our lives. Lord, for those who have lost enthusiasm, Lord, for those who were once passionate about the things of God and have lost their passion, God, that you will renew their passion again, oh Lord, that they will be just as bold and just as courageous and just as on fire for God as they were when they first got saved, oh Lord. Renew, Lord God. Stir up within us, Lord, the desires of our heart. Let our hearts and our meditations be pleasing unto you. Give us passion again, oh God. Make us enthusiastic people about the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I think I'm going to get to the sermon. So we've been in a new series titled Generous, Kind, and Grateful. And so last week my wife talked about what it means to be generous. And hopefully you guys have looked at your lives and you looked at your budget and you looked at your money and you looked at your time and you said, how can I be generous? How can I be more generous? You know, it's such a good word, especially in a time like this, amen, that we need people who are generous with all that they are. And today we want to talk about being kind and what an appropriate time to talk about being kind when we're in the midst of an election and there's so much division and there's so much strife and there's so much conflict. As the church, that we are to be kind one to another. Amen. So we're going to look at that this morning. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, our main passage of scripture will be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 32. So if you want to turn there, that's where our main passage will be. But before we get there, we want to just talk about a few other things. And so that's a pretty cool effect.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. Okay. All right. Well, the message is be kind. Turn to your neighbor and say, be kind. Be kind. And so the first thing I want to mention about being kind is this, is that being kind is a fruit of the Spirit. We look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. And so how many guys have a satsuma tree or you have some sort of crop that you're growing in your yard? Hopefully it's legal, right? All legal crops, right? And so you have a satsuma tree, right? Let's go with satsumas. So you know that that's a satsuma tree because you can see that there are satsumas. In other words, it is the fruit that is produced from that tree. And so what the scripture says is that kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if you have the Spirit of God living within you, kindness should be evident in your life. So it's not something that you manufacture. It's not something that you can work up. Is it in your heart? Is it evident in your life? Is it a fruit of your life? When people look at you, do they see kindness in your life? Do they see that you are kind to those who are not like you? You are kind to those who are underprivileged than you are? Are you kind to those who are different than you? Is kindness evident in your life? Is that one of the fruits of the Spirit that is evident in your life? Amen. So sometimes what will happen is that we try to manufacture kindness. In other words, and so a storm will come, right? And so there's nothing wrong with going helping out for that storm and help cleaning up and all these things. But then you feel good about yourself, right? And so we try to use kindness in a way where I'm going to do enough kind things to earn my salvation. I will be kind enough so that way I feel good about myself, and because I'm a good person, right? And that's what a lot of us would say. It's like, well, I'm a good person. I do good things. I do kind acts. But it's different doing a kind act than having a fruit of kindness in your life. The fruit of kindness is something that is God birth. It came from the Spirit of God. In other words, it's a part of God's character that has been inserted into you, and therefore that seed begins to grow and grow and grow, and then it develops into a fruit. You know, much like a satsuma tree, you don't just plant a satsuma seed into the ground and then the next day you have satsumas, right? But I would love that. I love me some satsuma. So if you guys have some extra laying around, I'm just throwing that out there. But that seed takes a while, and it develops, and it grows right into a tree, which eventually produces fruit. And so the act of kindness, or the spirit of kindness, it's a fruit of the Spirit. So it takes time to develop kindness. Whenever you give your heart to the Lord, you're not automatically kind. All right, you still have some flesh that you need to work out. You still have some things that God is working on the inside of you. You're not automatically kind, all right? But the process has begun. The process has started. So we can't manufacture kindness. It has to be a fruit of our lives, a fruit of our heart. The next thing I would say is that being kind is controlling our tongue. Controlling our tongue. Now, there are several scriptures that talk about controlling our tongue and how easy it is right now to not control your tongue, right? And just to kind of let your opinions fly and to say whatever it is that you want to say. But as the church of the living God, who is to walk in unity and who is to walk in brotherly love, that we are to prefer kindness, therefore we are to watch the things that we say. Especially towards another brother or sister in Christ who is made in the image and likeness of God. And not just your brothers and sisters are, but every single person created on this earth is made in the image and likeness of God. So therefore, we got to watch what we say to one another. Because what you're saying to that person, you might as well be saying it to Jesus. You might as well be looking at God in the face and saying that to that person. Because they're made in the image and likeness of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 29, 32. It says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Give what? Give grace to those who hear. Not conflict, not quarreling. Your words doesn't stir up conflict and doesn't stir up more commotion, but your words should be adding and giving grace to those who hear. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So now we see that it's something even worse is at stake, that we can actually grieve the Holy Spirit with our words. And that is a scary place to be. But let's look at the first part of this. It says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Take those two words, let no. So what does that imply? That means that you have the ability to let good words come out of your mouth, or you have the ability to let harsh and corrupt words come out of your mouth. Even though that you were created in the image and likeness of God, and even though you are filled with the Spirit of God, you still must filter your mouth. You must let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. You must guard your mouth. You must shut your lips. Shut your mouth, amen? You must let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. So we're filled, but we still have a free will. God did not create a bunch of robots, amen. He created people to love the Lord in spirit and in truth, in all that we are, with genuine and authentic love for God. So therefore, we are to let no corrupt words come out of our mouth. Now, what is corrupt? It's poor quality, bad, unfit for use, worthless. And so he's saying, don't let bad speech come out of your mouth. Don't let words that are unfit, that do not build another person up, do not let that come out of your mouth. Look at what it says in Luke 6:45. It says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And so here we go again. So now we see that it's a heart issue. In other words, what will come, what you've been putting into your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. And you can tell me that you love Jesus all you want, but what's coming out of your mouth telling me something else, I would have to say that the fruit is not matching what you are proclaiming to be. Amen? It says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak." And so if you're saying negative words and harsh words and words that are unfit for use, then that is what's in your heart. And so you need to do a heart check this morning and say, is the Spirit of God living on the inside of me? Am I bearing the fruit of kindness? Or is there something else that's coming out of my life? Not kind things, right? Because it's from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now look back at that verse again in verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That word, just another word for grieve, is offend. So how do you offend the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you? How do you do that? Whenever you start talking, using your mouth to defame someone else, to talk about someone else, to put them down, you're quenching the Holy Spirit. You're offending the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they were made in the image and likeness of God. How else can we offend the Holy Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit is like our guard. And so whenever you're thinking, this is how I want to respond to this, the Holy Spirit, you better not respond that way. You better not say those words. You better not use that tone of voice. And we do it anyway. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We offend the Holy Spirit because he's not ruling in our lives. We're saying, yeah, I hear you, but I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to let this person have it because they deserve it, right? Let's look at Matthew 25:40. It says, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. When you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, you do it unto me. Whatever you do to other people, you do it unto the Lord, is what the scriptures say. So keep that in mind as you're about to lash out. You're about to give someone a piece of your mind. Say, are you willing to do that to Jesus? Are you willing to say that face to face in front of Jesus? I think that you might have a bridle on your tongue. You might guard your mouth after that. Amen. So being kind requires us to watch our tongue, to watch what we say to other people. I would say this, that the third point is that being kind requires radical transformation. Radical transformation. Let's look at it. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Now, you don't have the power within you to put away these things on your own nature. I mean, you don't have the power within you to put away bitterness, but through the power of the Holy Spirit who's living on the inside of you, you can choose to not be bitter. You can ask the Lord, Lord, I am really bitter right now. I need you to help me. And the power of the Holy Spirit will help you to overcome that bitterness. That's what I mean by radical transformation. It's not just putting away bitterness because you need to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and produce fruit that will produce kindness. And so that's the only way that this will happen, right? Radical transformation. You know, if you're still holding on to bitterness, then you're not walking in kindness. If you're still harboring anger in your life, then you're not walking in kindness. If you're still concealing wrath, then you're not walking in kindness. If you're still starting clamor. Now, what is clamor? Now, Paul is writing this to the Ephesians. And whenever he was in Ephesus, there was a lot of clamor that arose. Now, there was this one guy, Demetrius, and he was a silversmith. And so he would make these little idols, and he would sell them for profit. And then Paul comes to the scene and starts saying, hey, look, there is no God that is made by the hands of man. There is no God like that. And so all of a sudden, Demetrius starts losing his profits. And so Demetrius starts clamoring. And so he starts getting people involved. I've been wrong. I've been wrong. They wronged me. And so he gets this whole mob of people to come, and he starts up this clamor. Why? Because he felt like he's been wrong. And so they try to arrest Paul. But how many guys have been guilty of doing the same thing? Like, you feel like you've been wronged, right? And so you get everybody else to join in. Come in, I've been wrong. Look what they did to me. And you get this whole group, this whole mob of people, and you start clamor against that one person. The Bible would say that you're not walking in kindness whenever you do that. Now, and then the last one, he says, if you're slandering people, in other words, you're talking negatively about other people, and that you are not walking in kindness. Now, if you look back at verse 24, it says to put on the new self. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we were to put off our old self, which, you know, our old self was, we were bitter, we clamored, we gossiped, we slandered, that's our old self, but then it says, hey, look, we are to put on the new self, created in the image of Christ. We put that on instead. In verse 32, it says to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So that brings up the question, are we to be kind only to those who have been kind to us? Well, were we kind to Jesus? And that's why he was kind to us? Or was he showed us kindness whenever we were undeserving of any kindness? Did he show us love whenever we were undeserving of love? I would say the latter is true. That we did nothing to deserve the kindness that Jesus illustrated into our lives. But yet he did it. I would say that Christ is the standard of our kindness. Amen. And I might be kind, and my wife might be kind, but ultimately Christ is the standard of our kindness. And so when we're looking at kindness, we look to Christ, and we look to his example. Romans 5:8 says this, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still a sinner, while you were still messed up, before you had anything to offer, it says that God loves you. And that he died, he sent his son to die on the cross for you. That is ultimate kindness. That is undeserved kindness. Undeserved. Our sins deserve death, according to the scriptures. Because of our sin, that's what we deserve. We deserve the penalty for death, but then Christ took upon himself that penalty. It is the undeserved kindness. Looking at the scripture again, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now, it says to be kind to one another and to forgive one another. Be kind to one another and forgive one another. So you're to be kind to the same people that you are to forgive. In other words, the same people that hurt you, the same people that have wronged you, the same people who have criticized you and abused you, the same people that God is calling you to walk in kindness and forgive that person. So if you're still harboring unforgiveness, then you are not walking in kindness. The next part of this says, be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So being kind requires having a tender heart. What does that mean? It means that you're easily affected by the afflictions of those around you. You're easily moved. You can easily feel compassion whenever you see someone else who's just going through a hard time, who's going through some obstacles. Your heart is still tender. And if we're looking at Christ, ultimately, again, he's the ultimate example. When Jesus saw the widow who had just lost her son, so she lost her husband, she was a widow, and she loses her son as well. Jesus had compassion on her, it says in the scriptures. It says in Luke 6:13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her. What about whenever Jesus was speaking to the multitudes? And he just seen that, look, they all came, they were all hungry, you know, for the word of God. They were just hanging on his very word. And they didn't want to leave, but they didn't have any food to eat. They came a long ways and didn't have anything to eat. It says in the scriptures that Jesus had compassion for the people. What about the two blind men who, whenever they heard that Jesus was coming near their city, they began to cry out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. What it says that Jesus did, it says that he showed pity, and Jesus, in his pity, touched their eyes. Jesus was a compassionate person. He was moved with kindness. He wasn't just compassionate, but he allowed that compassion to move him to acts of kindness. Sometimes we're compassionate, right? Sometimes we feel with each other, oh man, I feel you. But do we do anything? Do we do any acts of kindness? And what I love about Jesus is that he's not only a compassionate Lord and Savior, but he was not only touched with everything that we are touched with, but he moved and he acted in kindness. For the widow, he raises, he talked to her first of all. He said, and how that had been so valuable to her, just for Jesus to talk to her. But then he goes a step further and he raises her son to life again. And then we're looking at the multitudes. He not only had compassion on the multitudes, but then he says, I know you're hungry. I'm about to make you some fish. I'm about to provide fish and bread for every single person. Everybody's getting sushi today, man. Everybody is getting it. And so Jesus provides for that need. And then he wasn't only compassionate towards the blind man, but he says, I am willing to heal your eyes. I am. Touch your eyes. And so that you can see again, so that you can have life again, so that you can fulfill your purpose again. I am willing to do that. He was not only compassionate, but he was kind with his actions. And then lastly, what I would say is that being kind leads to repentance. Being kind leads to repentance. You know, sometimes kindness doesn't always look pleasant. And I'm going to explain. It's not always pleasant. Anybody who has kids, anybody who is a parent understands this concept that being kind is not always being pleasant. Sometimes I have to discipline my kids. Sometimes I have to bring out the belt and give them a butt whipping because that's what they deserve, all right? Sometimes I have to do that. But it is an act of kindness because I am steering them from destructive behavior. I'm saying I am committed to you. I see that the life that you are having right now, you're destroying yourself, and I love you too much to where you'll continue down that path. So yes, I will bring out my belt and give you a butt whooping because you deserve it, but it is an act of kindness. It is an act of love. I'm steering you away from that behavior. I'm steering you away from that destruction. Look in an example of Jesus in Matthew 23, 27 to 28. It says, I love Jesus, all right? So we talked about kindness being one of the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, it's part of the nature of God. Jesus was God, so kindness is part of his nature, right? But watch this. In Matthew 23, verse 27 to 28, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you are also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And you might be thinking, that doesn't sound very kind. I thought Jesus was kind. But if you look at the scripture, he says this 7 times alone in Matthew 23. Woe to you, Pharisees and scribes. Woe to you, you lawlessness. Woe to you, you hypocrites. Woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. Why do you think that was the case? Woe to you in this particular, if you're looking at the words, it was an exclamation of grief. Jesus was grieved by their sin. And he was saying, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you, so that they would see the wickedness of their hearts, so that they would see their own sin, and with the hope that they would turn from their ways, because kindness leads us to repentance. His kindness leads us to repentance. Look at it in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Think about whenever you first got saved. Who was kind to you? Who was kind to you? Who demonstrated kindness in showing you the ways of the Lord? Who demonstrated kindness in telling you the truth about your sins? Who was kind to you? I look at my mother as an example of ultimate kindness. I mean, all of her life, she just illustrates kindness. And seeing her example and seeing how she loved the Lord. And though she might not have been the one who led me to Christ, she definitely planted the seeds of kindness in my life. And I've seen this example, like, you know what? I am attracted to that. I'm attracted to the kindness of her heart. I'm attracted to how good of a person that she is. And despite of all that she can go through, and she still shows kindness. I'm moved by that kindness. And I was moved to repentance whenever the moment came. And think about how you can interact with those around you, those in your life, and what act of kindness will lead them to repentance, will lead them to the place where, you know what, something about you is so real, something about you is so authentic that I want what you have. Your kindness will lead others to repentance. Amen. As you are kind, I would say when people, that's what I love about this church. You know, I hear it so often that, you know, whenever I came in, I just felt so welcome. I felt so welcome. I was like, good, you need to feel welcome here. Anybody who comes through the door should feel welcome here. And we should kill people with kindness. Amen. Kill them with kindness. with the hope that this kindness will lead them to repentance, that kindness will break through walls, break through generational curses, and break through all that they've been going through. We're going to kill people with kindness, amen? And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life and lead them to repentance. Now, I want to end up with just looking at verse 32 once more. It says, be kind. Be kind. It's an imperative statement. In other words, it is something that requires action. Be kind. Being kind is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Being kind is controlling our tongue. Being kind requires radical transformation. Being kind requires a tender heart, and being kind leads to repentance. And one last thing. Kindness is birthed from the Spirit of God, but it is carried out by the people of God. Amen. Kindness is birthed from the Spirit of God, but it is carried out through the people of God. During this election season, I would say that in this room, that there's probably half and half. Half the people voted for Trump and half the people voted for Biden. We are brothers and sisters in Christ first and foremost. Christ is first. It doesn't matter who you voted for. Whenever you're dealing with someone who has a different opinion than you have, then let us walk in kindness one towards another. Let us prefer one another over our own desires. Hey, look, if you know that this person is highly offended by what you believe, keep your mouth shut. Walk in kindness. Control your tongue. Amen. I want to do something radical this morning. So this is going to take boldness on anybody's part who's willing to do this. All right. So I'm looking for two volunteers. And I want one Trump supporter and I want one Biden supporter. And we're going to illustrate to the world what it looks like to walk in kindness. Because if the church can't do it, then how do we expect the world to do it? And so this is going to take extreme boldness, all right? So if you are an adamant Trump supporter, I need one person who would be willing to come on this stage and speak kind things to another person. And if you are a Biden supporter, I want one of you to come on this stage and speak kind things to a Trump supporter. All right, do we have anybody? We have someone, amen? All right. Biden or Trump? Biden or Trump?
Biden.
Okay, all right, we need one Trump supporter. You got a Trump supporter right here. All right, amen. Now here's what we're gonna do. We're each gonna exchange words of kindness because this is the church, right? And we're to set the example for the world. All right, so we have two different people with two different opinions. And so now I just want you to say one kind thing towards Miss Marcia.
Miss Marcia, I love you.
Amen. She loves you. Miss Marcia, one kind thing to Latika.
Latika, I also love you. And I love you because Jesus first loved you. And I'm required as a woman of God to love you because the love of God is all over my life. And I'm required to do so.
Amen. Good job, ladies. Thank you so much. Look, we are the church. We can do this, amen. We can walk in unity. We can walk in kindness one towards another. It doesn't matter if you disagree with the next person, the person sitting next to you. Christ is King, amen. Christ is King. Christ is what unites us. His love for us is what unites us together. Amen. We can push through those barriers, amen. So, Lord, this morning as we close out, I ask, God, that you will fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. As kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, help us, Lord, to walk in kindness, Lord, one towards another. Lord, even during this election season, God, help us, Lord, just to demonstrate kindness. Lord, that would be evident in our lives, oh God, that we will use our words. Lord, that we will let no corrupt speech come out of our mouth. But Lord, only that which is used for building up one another. So Lord, we thank you and we just give you all the praise in this place in the name of Jesus. And let God's church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen.